Psalm 119, verse 105. We'll read these verses, this verse together. Let's begin. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. May God bless his words to our hearts today. But I do appreciate the excitement in wanting to read more. We are departing, of course, from our regular passage from Zephaniah for today, particularly to mark the baptism we have already witnessed. Light for your feet and path. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we all have an independent streak in us. Why? I believe one of the main reasons we like to have an independent streak is because we think we know more and we know better than God. And this started from the very beginning. Adam and Eve had an independent streak when they took the forbidden fruit in the garden and ate, were promptly put out. Abraham had an independent streak when he tried to short-circuit God's plan and took Hagar as a concubine to try to have the promised child through her. Samson had an independent streak when he went and took wives of the Philistines, ignoring the daughters of God's people. Saul had an independent streak when he tried to be a priest and make sacrifices to God instead of waiting for Samuel to come, who was the right person to make the sacrifices. Then a godly man like Uzziah, King Uzziah, had an independent streak himself. And he tried to burn incense to God and he was struck with leprosy. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there's no safer place to walk in and to walk in the path that God has provided for us. This place is not only safer, it brings more blessings, many, many blessings. And you will hear about this today. Our headings are three: God's Word and only God's Word. God's Word shines on my feet, and then God's Word shines on my path. Our goals are that you will depend on God's Word and God's Word alone to guide you in God's path of righteousness until you come to your heavenly home. And I'm saying this particularly in light of Isabel's baptism, but this is true for all of us. And it's especially true for those who are outside of the kingdom to know where you ought to be. So we begin with the first heading, God's Word and only God's Word. The psalmist points out that it is God's Word and only God's Word that brings benefit to man. God has only one standard. There's no equivalency between God's Word and the Word of other religions. This means there is no other Word that is good enough to guide you but the Word of God. Now let me show you why the psalmist points so strongly to God's Word. And that's the first phrase of that verse, the word, your word. First of all, we notice that God's Word is exclusively authoritative, and no one is permitted to violate it in any way for any purpose. There are no exceptions to the authority of God's Word. Even if one had a high position, he's still bound to obey God's Word. So God's Word's for the low, God's Word's for the high, God's Word's for everyone. Why is it so important that God's Word be the ultimate source of authority? Because men are liars and often try to promote themselves by their words. There's an example in history of a man named John of Leyden. One of the things he did was to say, well, God told me something. What did God tell you, John? God told me to go into people's stores and take whatever I wanted. Now, if he went to the Word of God, and God's Word was the authority, he won't do that. But he started to make up these extra ways of hearing from God. Also, men will reject any word with which their heart doesn't agree. And you see that many politicians today, we've changed. God said he made male and female. We say we want 73 different genders. You see why we have to go back to God's word, why God's word is authoritative, why the psalmist points to God's word. We naturally want our own way. Look in your sermon notes if you have them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21 says, together, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. They're interested in promoting themselves or whatever they like. Men love to submit to traditions as well, and they treat them as law. You might hear people say, we've always done it that way. Such traditions may be good or they may be bad. And if they're bad, they have no equal authority. We have to reject them. It's the word of God that is authoritative. And the psalmist says, your word. Your word. But not only is God's word authoritative, God's word is clear. There are some parts, of course, of the Word of God that are difficult to understand, but everything that is essential for your salvation and your sanctification is clear enough. We use the big word, perspicuity, very clear. You can understand the meaning of the Bible. An ordinary person can pick it up and learn how to be saved and learn how to be sanctified. Next, God's Word is sufficient for you. This means it will meet every standard, every need you have for every man, every woman, and every child. That famous passage, let's read that from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Together, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. And that verse, those two verses are actually quite rich. You want to see how sufficient God's word is? Well, he used the term doctrine. Note the underlined four words there. Doctrine. This refers to all truth regarding man. You want to study man? Go to the Word of God. It's kind of interesting that so many psychologists reject the Word of God. Well, who could you go to learn about man but the one who made man, the one who controls man? You have to go to God and to his Word. So you go to God's Word for doctrine. The Bible teaches you how to be saved, why you need to be saved, how you are to live after you are saved. That's doctrine. And then there are reproofs. Why do we need reproofs? Reproof refers to exposing bad teaching. And of course, as long as you evaluate preaching from God's words, you should not be afraid to expose bad teaching. You always have to be charitable, but you must know what is false when you hear it and must be able to identify that to your children, to your wife, to your brothers and sisters. If you hear them listening, someone who is speaking falsely, you have an obligation. You heard the vow that you took for Isabel? You better honor that vow before God to be a support and encouragement to her. And then there's correction. Correction means exposing bad behavior. Reproof is the exposing a bad teaching. But correction refers to exposing bad behavior. And the way this word is most popularly used in history is when you have broken bones and you need to set those bones in place before you tape it up. Before you put on the plaster of Paris, you've got to put the bone in place, something to use screws to hold it in place. And that's what this is referring to, correcting bad behavior. And then fourth, righteousness. God's word teaches you how to be righteous. This is referring to the nurturing and the growth in your Christian walk. Righteousness, when you think of righteousness, think of right actions, right way to live. So do you want to know if something is right or wrong? You go to the Word of God. Do you want to know whom you should marry or not marry? Go to the Word of God. Do you want to know who to vote for at election time? Go to the Word of God. Do you want to know how to be a better husband or a better wife? We all should be saying yes. Go to the Word of God. Do you want to know how to treat your parents? Go to the Word of God. You want to know how to worship God properly? Go to the Word of God. Go to God's words. In other words, God's word that is believed and obeyed will make the man, woman, and child complete in every respect. And this is suitable for the prime minister. This is suitable for the lowest person in society. With the fact that this is the psalmist is calling us to look to God's word, not to our word, we have to be careful that we don't add or subtract anything from God's word. You know why? There's an incredible curse. You want to know why we must look to God's word exclusively? Look at what God says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 through the Apostle Paul together. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul literally was saying that the one who changes, adds to, or subtracts from God's word will go to hell. Look at another passage, Revelation 22, verse 18, together. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Read Revelation to see the plagues that are described. That's why God says, don't touch my word. Listen to it, read it, believe it, live it. But don't add to it, don't subtract from it. Don't put demands above that what I have put on the people. Don't take away demands that I have put upon the people. My word alone. We come to the second point. Your word, psalmist says, is a light. Your word is a lamp. What is the point, or a lamp first? Your word is a lamp on my feet. God's word shines on every believer, every child of God. It does not guide the blind children of Satan, but it does provide light for the children of light. Only the believer who has had his spiritual eyes opened can benefit from the light of God. John Calvin wrote, David could not have been guided by God's word unless he had first renounced the wisdom of the flesh. The wisdom of the flesh means what you think is right. And he had to reject that. And instead, he had to hold on to God's word. Second, notice that God's word shines on my feet. We like to think that God's word should affect the neighbor. You always think of the neighbor and think, look at the way he lives. He's a liar. Maybe he cheated on his wife, and maybe he doesn't go to church. He needs the light. But the psalmist doesn't say, they need the light. He says, I need the light. I need the light, the lamp there on my feet. You must say that God's word is the light to my feet, not my neighbor's. So what's the purpose of that? When God's word shines close to the believer's feet, to your feet, it shows the believer his own mistakes. I have a passage there in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Let's read that together. Let's begin. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Your commandment is a lamp and a light. You ever seen those, some people have them in their houses, those makeup mirrors with the lights on them? They have sort of a magnifying glass. You turn those things on and not a blemish escapes your eyesight, does it? But when you see the blemish, what do? You cover them up. You deal with them. Some people think those mirrors are too close, and maybe they are right. Maybe the light is too bright. Maybe the magnifying is too big. But that's just the physical things. God wants the believer to see the concerns he ought to have in his life and get his life right with God. When God's word shines close on the believer's feet, it actually helps to more than just cover up like a makeup would do. It will protect the believer. Consider the context of the psalmist who was writing here in Israel. The light on his feet would protect him from stumbling. This was a very stony place. It's often the old joke that when God made the world, he had a bag of stones left over and he dropped them all in Israel. And that's why it was so important to have good sight at your feet so you saw where you were going. Then you need that light at your feet to protect you from falling into an abyss or falling off a cliff. And the light at your feet prevents you from falling into traps. They would have these big traps that were set for wild animals. And you put your foot in the wrong place, you'll be hanging from the tree very quickly by your foot. And you need to have light to be able to see. There were briars and thorns, thistles, bramble that you could get yourself in trouble with. The light on your feet protected you from being bitten by snakes and scorpions. And these were a great danger at that time. Many of those things will hide during the daytime. At nighttime, when it's cooler, they come out looking for dinner. And sometimes it could be someone's foot that they could get their dinner from. And that's why this light on the feet was so important. So what was the meaning then of that? The meaning is this: God's word protects you from falling into errors that will harm you and ultimately lead to your death. This means you need God's light to identify the lies from false teachers. The lies they're peddling that are very popular today. When you see people standing in front of an abortion clinic and pastors thanking God for abortions, you need to have the light shine to expose that error. Why is that wrong? These false teachers are the snakes and the scorpions. These are the traps. You know, one of the biggest traps that is set that you don't see very easily? It's how we must be all-inclusive. One of the things that you hear about, well, why can't we just work together? And from one side and the left side, the conservatives and the liberals, we need to be united as one. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? That's really a trap. Christians are called to separate from worldliness, not to embrace it or try to neutralize it or water down God's standards. We're to stand up and let the light of Christ shine and say, that's wrong. We need to be bold. That's what Isabel needs to be able to do, say, no, I will not follow that way. That's against the word of God. If you don't follow God's word, you will fall into a trap, and those things can be painful. One final thought on this point. The light of God is not just something to admire. It's something to use. You know, we can get lost in this time when you've got all the lights up in all the buildings and you see, wow, That looks good. They have the blinking lights and the colored lights and the white lights and whatever kind you like. But if you need to read, what do? You can't use those lights. And sometimes we like to think, well, I've been a Christian. I've got the Bible. It's not just something to admire. It's something to use. You really have to use it. You ignore it at your own peril. Let's come to our third point then. It's only God's word. He says, your word. Your word is that lamp to my feet. And then third, your word shines on my path. And you wonder, what's the difference? Well, God's word shines in the distance, so you know where you are going and you can see the big picture. It's nice to be able to see the feet close to where you're walking, but you need to see where you're going, the big picture, and that's what God shows here. God's word shines in your path, though, in a personal way. Again, this is why the psalmist doesn't say he shines in your path, he's in my path. Your word is a lamp, your word is a light to me. The non-believer isn't interested, nor does he have the ability in himself to follow the light of God. He's blinded. His eyes need to be opened first by God for him to see the light at his feet and the light along the path. So why is that light there for us as believers? Specifically, God's word shines in your path to protect you. And that's what the Israelites needed badly back then. The light won't allow you to stray from the right path. The light in the distance warns you that there are dangers around. And this, of course, was a real concern for the Israelites because they were wild animals. They were wild people, and they both moved in packs. And traveling at night was very dangerous. You need the light to show you the signs that are and the warnings that are around. The warnings that says, brown bears lane. Or they might show you another lane that says, do not detour, dead end. And if you see a lane that says Shark Avenue, you can learn, I'm not going there. And that's what the light of God does. It shows you the picture in the distance and says, don't go there. This is the path. Keep on the path. Or the devil is a roaring lion seeking to devour you. Look at Psalm 119, verse 9. Let's read what it says together. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Not my word, not his own word, not the philosopher's word, but God's word. More, this word of God leads you to heaven. Look at 2 Peter now, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Together. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Here the Apostle Paul commends Christians who are faithful, who show their faithfulness in listening to the word of God so they could find Christ's salvation. He points them to the word of God. You want to learn how to be saved? Go to the word of God. What's more than salvation? You know, you live as a Christian. I've had some very good conversations with Isabel in the last several weeks. And that you will have some troubles in your life, fears and frustrations and doubts. When God's word shines in your path, it removes those troubles, those fears and frustrations and doubts. You know, nothing scares a child more than darkness. That's when there's uncertainty and the child starts to scream, but the light comes on and suddenly, I know where I am. I'm not lost. Nothing's going to get me. Because I have the light of God with me. And it's true for grown children too. Those 40, 50, 60 years old. It's the word of God that removes that fear. You want assurance of God's love for you? You go to his word. I saw something this week that says, someone was saying, you know, we complain that God doesn't speak to us and our Bibles are closed. Well, how can you complain? God speaks to us through his word. He tells us how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, how Jesus died for us, how we're secured for eternity. Nothing formed against you will prosper. One day you will be taken up to heaven to be with him forever. So you got some troubles. Well, they won't last that long. You've got some doubts. Go to God's word. He'll remove them. That's what his word is for. So what do you need to do? Keep that lamp or that light burning. As long as you are in this world, you will need guidance. Don't let the lamp of the word ever stop being in your homes. The families that are weakest are the ones that don't read God's word together. That's just common sense. You don't slow any relationship. You don't show that your love, that you love each other. The relationship starts to move apart. And so it is, when you read God's word, you'll see how much he loves you. You will see his care. And that's what you need in every family. And I don't mean just opening, reading the Bible, closing, and putting it away. Think about what you have read. Talk about what you have read. Explain as a father, explain to your family what you have read. And then insist on God's word being preached in your church. If you find that your church is weak, maybe they only focus on one third of the Bible, the New Testament, they ignore the first part. That's robbing the congregation. Or maybe all you hear about is how to get healthy and how to get wealthy. That's robbing the congregation. And it's kind of ironic that that's the focus of many in our churches today, health and wealth, and we forget. Those were really the things that the devil was tempting Jesus with, and he said no to those things. And now we've gone back saying, hey, you want to get healthy? You want to have lots of money? You can buy really good food? You want a nice car? You want houses? You need to serve Jesus. That was the temptation he served up to Jesus, the devil. And we've gone back in that direction. No, keep God's word burning in your home and in your church. It is the word of God that includes all the instructions you need. And be in worship regularly. That's where you hear the preaching of the word of God. Don't treat God's light, God's word, as some loose option. Treat it as a moral necessity that you have to be in worship every Sunday to hear the word of God. That's the lamp. That's the light. That's the lamp there at your feet and the light along your path. Don't live in darkness. That's where fear is. Let's conclude. All who are Jehovah's children need his word. No other word can be trusted. No other word must be trusted. God's word will guide you in your private life, like the light that is near your feet. God's word will guide you where you walk, like the light along your path. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, since everyone needs the word of God, share the word of God directly, or share it through literature, share it through sermons. But you can't always give people the word of God. Some places you're restricted. Maybe in your workplace they say no passing out of literature. You can't give Bibles there. Well, you certainly can live the gospel. Let Christ's gospel live through you. Know that phrase? Let your light so shine before men. What was that light? The gospel. It's not the fancy makeup or the way you dress. Of course, modesty is one part of the gospel, but it's, you don't win people by that. You win people by the way you carry yourself around in the office, the way you're honest in your business, the way you speak to people who are beneath you, the respect you show to those who are above you. That's another way of preaching the gospel. So God's word comes through reading it, a book, a sermon, coming to church, but God's word is also spread through your life. So if you want to spread the word of God, what do you need to do? You got to know it. You have to know it. That means you have to study the word of God so you can live better. So you can know what to believe. You can know how to live. 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, there the Apostle Peter challenges readers to work hard at understanding the Bible, because some things are not easy to understand. There were some things that people twist to their own advantage. Maybe you've heard some of those things and you accepted them as true. You need to go into the Word of God yourself. The gospel will always stand up to scrutiny. Don't just take what people say. Don't just take what I say. Search the Word of God yourself so you know what the truth is. So if somebody, a nice person, and you will have nice Christian people who will say, well, they can be saved in their own way, and everyone's religion is equally valid. I just am strong in my faith. And you'll be able to say, well, that's not the teaching of the Scriptures. For there's salvation in one name, the name of Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You'll be able to explain that as well. And when you do so, those people can be saved. They can be sanctified. The same thing is true for you. You put in the hours in Bible study, and you will honor the Savior. And finally, since God's word is the only book that teaches you how to be saved from your sins, if you're not a Christian, what is your duty? Your duty here is to read, learn, believe, and obey the word of God. When you get into God's word, you will learn of Christ and you will learn of salvation. So if you're not a Christian, don't delay. Get into the word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words today. We thank you that we have your word and only your word. There's nothing more that we could look to. No other book, no other religion, no other philosophy will tell us how to be saved and how to be sanctified, how to deal with the problem of sin, but your word. So let that word be that guide to our feet, things that are close to us. Let us get the big picture of where we should go as that light along our path, that we will be able to walk and make our way to our heavenly home, as you empower us by your word and with the assistance of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your words to our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.